Okay, we are on the bottom of Ayin Aleph on Beis, Eidav Saf Ayin Beis. So we're by the last couple of lines. So the Gemara above brought a pasuk from Yehoshua that said that those that were born during the Doron Midbar, right? They didn't have Bris Milah until they entered Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, Uba Midbar, my time elo mohol. So what was the reason why when they were in the Midbar they did not do Bris Milah? So Gemara gives two answers. Ibais Ema, one you can say Mishum Chulsha de Orcha, because of the difficulty of the travel. Right? It's bottom of my Ayan base. Because of the difficulty of the travel. So there's some say maybe it could be that they were worried that it takes time to heal. So they were worried, they didn't know when they were gonna leave. They never knew exactly when the cloud would go, when they're gonna leave, and then they didn't want to do Bris Milah because they're worried that we have to be traveling when they had the Bris Milah. So there's a danger. That's a whole other reason why also with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu stopped, the reason why he was so big the Hashem gets upset at him when he doesn't do the Bris Milah is because he's on the way, then he stops at the hotel. So only then does he have the problem with the fact that he doesn't do the Bris Milah.
Exactly, when they stopped for one of the campings, immediately the Bris
Milah. Right, so but they didn't know when the cloud would lift and when they would be able to continue going. So they didn't know they would have enough time, so it's a sakana, they didn't know. It's interesting because they really didn't move much during 38 years. Only okay. So Yivai Zema, or another answer is Mishum Dilo Nashiv Luhu Ruach Tzifonis, because the north wind, Rashi says, and Ruach Tzifonis is Nocha. It's a nice wind. Lo Chama Lo Tzonenes the Chama Zarecha. It's not so harsh. It's a little like a breeze, and the sun shines through there, and it has I guess it has curative powers. So that never blew. So since they didn't have the they didn't have the sun shining because of this ruach. The ruach tzifonis didn't blow. So then they didn't have these curative powers. The sign called osan arvayim shana shayvay yisrael b'midbar lo narshalem ruach tzifonis. They didn't have this northerly wind blow, and we see they didn't have this northerly wind blow during the day, and therefore they couldn't do bris milah because they wouldn't have the it would be a sakana, I guess maybe. I don't know. So Tosos points out, he says, Mishnah Nashil Ruach Tzifonis, he says, but Sifri, he quotes the Sifri, which is in Behaloscha, that says, Omer Dibignusan Shay Yisrael Sipar Kosov. It's a Gnai, like the Kosov, the Torah says, Shlo Asu Ela Pesach Echa B'mem Shana Shai B'Midbar. They only did one Karban Pesach when they were in the Midbar. Shalom Matzino Shasu Pesach Ela B'Shana Shnia. They only did Karban Pesach during the second year. So Tosos asks on the Sifri, the Tema, was it amazing that they didn't do Karban Pesach? Vim Yishur Milas Zecharim Shayim La'akvim L'chashiv Kinnus L'fishah Gamru L'hem Davar Zeh V'akeim and L'lo'ev Sharlo Ha'isam Ha'kevis. It was impossible for them to do it because they couldn't do Bris Milah because there was no wind. They couldn't do the Bris Milah. So that's to say that maybe that they did do the Bris Milah.
Didn't they have the Anani Kovid? The Anani Kovid took care of that, didn't it?
Took care of what?
I thought that was
that
controlled the winds.
Oh, but they didn't happen. The sun didn't come through. Alright. So, right, the loss of the ruach tzvunis. Right, so Tosas again points out, lo nashlam ruach tzvunis peira bifnei atzma. By itself, the wind didn't blow. The aim of forest don't nush a cloud. Don't say that it didn't blow at all. It had to blow with other winds. The Amar Besol Kolaget, the end in Gittin, it says, Arba Ruchos min Ashavas Kol Hayom, Veruach Tzafonis min Ashavas im Kulon, Shemolikin ain't all miskayim. You have to have the northern wind. Right. Otherwise, for some reason, the world wouldn't survive. Just means it didn't blow by itself. Okay. So my timer, Mara says, what's the reason why these 40 years in the Midbar, the north wind didn't blow? So Ibai Shem Ishum Din Izufim Hayu, because of the chait to Egel. Rashi says, Mimaisa Egel, Velo Hayu Ruin Lor Noga. They had the chait to Egel, so the northerly wind didn't blow, so it didn't bring out the sun, so therefore they didn't have the
Egel was much later. They couldn't do the bris before chait to Egel?
We're talking about before. Because the chait to Egel, so for 40 years, they didn't have the wind. After the chait to Egel.
They were 40 years in the Midbar after chait to Egel.
But before the Chet Egel, till we got to the Chet Egel, that was by Matan Torah. If you got the Chet Egel, They could have made the bris when the leopard tried.
Okay, so somebody. So, okay.
In Sukkot, they could have made. The, they could have had the bris and didn't have the
Chatayim. But there was no Pesach. A, there was no Mizbeach. B, there was no Pesach after.
I'm talking about the bris. I'm not Mizbeach. I'm not talking about.
Well, bris. So whoever was born between the time they left Mitzrayim and Matan Torah had and had a milah. Right, that's a few places Tosos says.
That's right.
Everyone, so they, so right, it was the people who were born in the Midbar. That's what I was talking about. People born in the Midbar. Anybody who was born in Mitzrayim had the Tosos had a breast. So Yivai Seima, we shouldn't assume from Hayu. Yivai Seima, the low Nibador, Ananiya Kavod. The reason is the northerly wind would blow away the Ananiya Kavod, and therefore they would lose the protection. So they didn't have the northerly wind, so the Ananiya Kavod wouldn't disperse. And therefore, the sun wouldn't shine. So one, let me cut the cuts there. What about what the reasons are? One says it's because they did an Aveira. And Tosfos points out, very difficult to say, right? He says that's because Mishum Nezufim Hayu. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says it's Maisa Meraglim. It's only for 38 years for the Maisa Meraglim. V'lo Kamosh Perish B'Kunchus Maisa Egel. Shari Machal HaMakarish Baruch Hu. He says, Salachti. He says, I forgave you for the Maisa Ego, right? Sha'achar kach nasa mishkan v'ashar v'shchim nasa b'neim. After Chet Ego had the mishkan, and he had the shchina. So you build a mishkan, you have the shchina, and you're going to then say that you're being punished, they're not going to have the northerly winds because of the Chet. I just forgave you. So he says, between from the Chet Ego, from Chet to Meraglim, which is fine, but then why is it all 40 years? It's only been 38 years. Right. And so that, okay, so maybe that's why Rashi says 40 years. So maybe for the cheta egel it was up to that point, and the cheta meraglim was afterwards. I don't know. Amar Rav Papa Hilchach. Therefore, Yoma de Ivan, a cloudy day, the Yoma de Shuta, and on a day that I think that means that the southerly winds are more dominant, right? Rashi says Sheruach Dromis Ben Hashavas, the Kasha Mikol Aruchos. It's the most difficult of the winds. So on a cloudy day or a south wind coming from the south, Lo Malilim Bay, you don't do Bris Mila. Because it's dangerous. V'lo misochrin bay, and you don't bloodlet. Aye, but v'ha'idna the dosh of Arabim. But nowadays, when people are ragil to do mila and make his dam on these days, how can we do that? We say show psayim Hashem. Hashem will watch over those who aren't smart enough to know how to watch over themselves. So that right. So the Ritva actually brings down that you still have the p'tor if you don't want to because it's a cloudy day. You still have the p'tor. The Beis Yosef argues, no, we don't know what that means. You don't do a bris mila. You do a bris mila. You don't see people being.
You don't
know,
take the weather conditions.
You don't, yeah, you don't take right.
The wind conditions.
For the bris mila. Maybe the mole can't get there because of the snowstorm. But
that's true. If you're inside, why you're still impacted by the winds?
Apparently so. So the Shomer Psalm Hashem is an interesting question. Like, at what point do we say when smart to Otis Nasho Seichem and not to do something? And at what point do you say Shomer Psalm Hashem that Hashem will guard the foolish? I don't know. So a lot of talk on it, but I think it comes to the point. Like, if it's a risk that most normal people would take, it's a risk to get in the car every morning. But most normal people assume that risk. Then you say it's Shomer Psalm Hashem. If it's a risk that most people don't take because they know that statistically speaking that's going to be very dangerous for them, then you don't do that. You know, comes up play with the smoking.
Well, you know, people do mitzvahs and don't get.
Not they, what, to do a mitzvah to what? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to ride your motorcycle.
He's
talking about bris mila. He's talking about doing the bris mila during in a dangerous scenario. We're on a cloudy day.
So what I'm saying is, nothing's going to happen because you're doing a mitzvah. You're not going to get this. You won't have a hesek from a mitzvah.
What does it say there?
I'm saying it.
Well, from what?
That shulchan mitzvah in the zaken. You don't get a hesek.
Okay, so first of all, Tosos points.
I'm not saying traffic.
Go, Tosos. First of all, wait.
Tosos
points out that only applies to food.
And
wait, that's the name to
Shalom.
Excuse
me, but why did you give Shlech Mitzvah money when somebody goes to Israel?
Okay, so you know what? Next time the Moel is going to drive, let him go 150 miles an hour on his motorcycle without a helmet because Shluchay Mitzvah in his
pocket. Oh, that's ridiculous.
I know it's ridiculous.
So that's
exactly what you're saying.
Right?
That's my point. My point being is that if it's a risk that most people will assume, then you see the smart natural seichem. Going down skiing without a helmet is probably a risk that most people don't assume. You should probably be wearing. But people assume that risk.
People assume that risk. Most normal people assume that risk. Going on a motorcycle, going on a motorcycle without a helmet, most people don't assume. So that's probably a violation of this mark. Also, not shoseichem. Tana Rabbanan, Kol Osan Abraham Shana Shai Yisrael B'Midbar. All 40 years of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, right? Lo Hayilahem Yom Shalom Nashu Be'Ruach Tzvonis Mechati Laila. They may not have the northern wind during the day, but at least at midnight the Ruach Tzvonis would blow. Shnei Mars, the pasuk says, Vayhi Bechati Laila VaHashem Yikach Kol Bechor. In the middle of the night, Achatzos, Hashem smote all the firstborn. All right, so what does that have to do with the northerly wind? So my Talmudah. So what are we learning from this pasuk? Hakashmalon, the Ace Ratzon Milsahi. That is an Ace Ratzon. Rashi says the cave in the Chatzos Alayla Ace Ratzon have a lemachas bechoros have a name Ace Ratzon and Ruach Sifonis. The Ein Lachayom Shiruach Sifonis Aim and Hashem Esbo Bechatzi Alayla. You had to have it in the middle, at least in the middle of the night, because it's an Ace Ratzon. And he says Vezehay Simul David. This was a simul for David. Right? Kino Tali Lo Lemaylam Mitaso VeNikba Klap Hetzafon Cave on Shnigiyah Chatzos Alayla. Ruach Sifonis from Hashem Esbo Umenagim Eila Vuhunar. He would wake up and then he would do tikkul chatzos. I thought Rashi asked, "Why did not get hacha?" I bought him shana. They tell you they didn't blow. Lo mer lacha shafilu osam mem shana din azufim hayu below nishpal hem bayamim nashvel lehu bechatzos laila. At least at midnight they would have it. I don't know what the point is. You can't do briset then, but I don't know. Maybe they should do a briset meal at night then. I don't know. Tana Rabbanan. Sorry, Amar Ravuna. Ravuna says, "Dvar Torah mi de oraisa." So you have a kohen who's mashuch. Mashuch here doesn't mean nimshach with the oil. It means that his orla was pulled over. He had a bris milah, and then they pulled over the skin over to sort of hide the bris milah. So he looks like he doesn't have a bris, but he has a bris. Dvar Torah mashuch okal betruma. He's still permitted to eat truma because he's not oral. He already had milah. But umidavrayim, but midarabanon gozru alav mipnei nira ke orel. They more gozer on him that he should not eat truma because he looks like he's an orel. I'm not sure who he looks like that to, who's looking at it, but they say that since he looks like an RL, he has to, maybe to himself, he looks like an RL to himself, therefore he should not eat truma midarabanan. So the Gemara is now going to ask, wait a second, you're telling me that he may not eat midarabanan? I'll tell you he may not even eat it midaraisa. The Bryce says, Mashuch Sarich Cheimol. A Mashuch should get Bris Mila. Wait a second. Should get Bris Mila? That's not Mashmadel. That's your question. Hat Sarich Katani. He said Sarich. And Sarich is a Dinder Abbanan, Rashi points out. Midlo Katani, Mashuch Haruze Arel. Don't ask me off on this Bryce. It seems that it's Midra Raisa. The Bryce says Midra Abbanan. It says Sarich. It doesn't say that you're an Arel. It says you should do Bris Mila. So what was the question? So he says, Katoyi, the Mashin made a mistake understanding this Braisa because of the Seifa of the Braisa. Because why? The Seifa of that Braisa, Rabbi Huda Omer, Lo Yimol, a Mashal should not get Bris Mila, Bifnesh Sakana Hilo, because it's a Sakana, because maybe he'll cut more than he needs to, right? So it's a Sakana, and it'll become a Krushivcha. So Amrullah, so Chacham say to them, no, you're talking about Sakana. Vahalo Harbei Malubi May Ben Kuzeva, during the times of Bar Kokhba, a lot of people who were mashuch, yes, during the times of the Hadrianic decrees, they had this mashuch, people did it. I'm not sure whether it was because they hid it from the Romans, or they hid it to be like the Romans. Either way, you had a lot of people who were mashuch, and then they, nevertheless, they had bris mila, they rebrist, and holy do banu banos, and they had many children. So it's not a sakana. So he says, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and he quotes a pasuk, Shenemar, himol yimol, you should certainly do bris mila, meaning again and again and again, afilo mei epamim, do bris mila again and again, what do you mean again and again? Even if you're a mashuch, do bris mila. Right? But Omer, and another pasuk says, so the extra brisi hefar is l'rabos asamashach. Right, Rashi says, it doesn't say here.
It's an extra
pasuk. Yeah. So the Gemara first says, Maiva Omer. Before the Gemara explains what the problem was, the Gemara says, what if you say, not, what if you have two sources? It says, Maiva Omer. Right, he says, V'chi teima, because you might think, hi, himo yimo, l'rabo sitzim ma'akim esamila. It's the leftover skins, the leftover flesh, that would be that's ma'akev. Tashma, it's b'risi hefer l'rabo samashach. That comes to include the mashach. But you see now that there's a pasuk. So who, the ma'akshah savar, it says that you should have a bris milah. He quotes a pasuk. Quoting a pasuk means you should have a bris milah with the raisa. So who suffered me? The kanasiv shas. Interesting. The kanasiv hashas kra that the shas brought a pasuk deoraisahi. It's a oraisa. That's why he asked the ravuna. But velohi, that's not true. Right? Me derabbanon. It's a din derabbanon ukra smato yama. It's only a smato. It's only a din derabbanon that the mahol that the mashal should have a bris mila. But me deoraisa, the mashal could theoretically eat truma. Okay, so we have no kasha Rav Huna who says that Mashuch is Ochel Truma in the Torah. It's only Xavier's Chachamim that he's not Ochel Truma. So now the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to bring a brisa that it seems to say that Mashuch, then even Midurabban and the Mashuch may eat Truma. Against Rav Huna again. So, Mesvei, the following brisa. So you have a Kohen, or in the case of a Kohen, who's a Tumtum. Tumtum means that you cannot recognize his makam, whether he's a zakh or in a keva, it's covered by skin. Ein ocha b'truma. He may not eat truma. The reason why is because maybe his skin will rip, and you realize that he's a man, he doesn't have bris mila, so he's a suffik aral. This Tumtum is a suffik aral. The Tumtum ein ochal truma. He may not eat truma. But nevertheless, Nashav, his woman or his wife, Gemara's going to ask what wife, right? Nashav, Avadav, and his servants, Ochlin, they may eat Truma, because, you know, Mimanashav, they have no problem, right? Because even if he's a man, the wife and the slaves of someone who's an Arel eat Truma, and therefore, if this man's a Zachar, he can eat Truma, and if he's a Nekeva, then he's a Bas Kohen, he's a Bas Kohen, who can eat Truma? It's a Kohen. So what's the problem? So he may not eat, the Tumtum may not eat Truma, but the Tumtum's wives, whatever that means, and servants may eat Truma. And the Brisa continues, HaMashuch, someone who's Mashuch, Vanolaj Kishumol, and someone who's born already circumcised, Hare Elu Ochlim, they may eat Truma, because they don't need, according to this Brisa, they do not need to do another bris mila, even be the Rabbanon. Androgynous, someone who has the simanim of both the Zachar and the Keva, Ocha b'truma, he may eat Truma. Because whether or not he's a man, whether or not he's a woman, or he's buried with an asmo, it's Zerah Shel Kohen. Also, it doesn't make a difference. It's Zerah Shel Kohen, and may eat Truma. But they ain't Ocha b'kachim, but I guess these cases, they may not eat, or the androgynous may not eat b'kachim, I think it means kachim, like a chatos and ashram and the menachos, because kachikadashim are only eaten by the male kohanim, and androgynous is a suffix isha. Right, and again, the Marista says, "Tumtum eino ochel lo b'truma lo b'kadoshim." A tumtum may not eat truma and may also not eat kachim. Marista asks why we just mentioned tumtum in the first line. Why are you mentioning it again? But katani miyas. Nevertheless, what it says in the Marista, "Mashuch v'nolad kushumol eino hare elu ochlim." They do eat. Which seems to indicate that maybe midrabanan they may eat. So tiyufta the Rav Huna tiyufta. So our girsa is that this is a kasha on Rav Huna that says it's tiyufta to Rav Huna. Tosos and Rashi bring out another girsa which says that this brisa is a proof to Rav Huna. Why? Because all Rav Huna said what? And Rashi says this. The second girsa is ikar. He says because all Rav Huna said is that midrabanan they may not eat. Midraisa they can eat. See the brisa says yeah midraisa they may eat. This depends on where we start to look at the. Is this price talking about the rice level or the rabbanon level? If the price talking about the rice level, it's a proof to Rav Huna. If it's talking about the rabbanon level, then it's a kasha on Rav Huna. Okay. So Amar Mar, quoting the price, Tumtum eino ocha b'truma. We say a Tumtum may not eat truma because maybe you'll rip the skin. You'll see that he's an arel. You'll see that he's a zachar and he won't have a bris mila. He'll be an arel, so he can't eat truma. But nasha v'avadav ochlem b'truma. They can eat. So the Gemara says nasha the Tumtum inole. Where do you have a wife for a tumtum that the wife may eat truma? What are you talking about? He says, Elaim with a kadesh, if you can tell me that you're talking about a case where he's mekadesh a woman, because maybe he's a man. So the sign of the bright that says, tumtum shekidesh, a tumtum that does kiddushin with a woman, kiddusha of kiddushin, that the kiddushin work, because maybe he's a zachar, right? And also maybe niskadesh, he was niskadesh to another man. Maybe you say kiddusha of kiddushin also. You say that's also valid because maybe he's in the keva. Okay, fine. Ema the amar that the kiddushin is valid. That's only lechumra. That's only for din lechumra. But lekula mi arminan. Who says kiddushin means okay? So in order for this relationship to be dissolved, we'll say you have to get a get because maybe he's a man. So maybe the kiddushin was valid. So you want to get divorced, you have a get. But lekula to say now that the wife can now eat truma. How can you do that? It's a suffix that it's a woman. Or they say that he can eat truma, the tumtum can eat truma. How can you do that? Who's the man that married it is a kohen. So what? Maybe it's not. Maybe the kushas not valid, and he can't eat truma. So he says, "Amar the amar lechumra, but lekula miyamrinon suffik ishahu vein isha mekadesh isha suffik isha. A woman can't marry a woman, or maybe he's a man, and a man can't marry a man.
Not anymore.
So how does it work? No comment. Right. Talks about, we're talking about kedushin here.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So not but recognized by the state. All right, so the Amravaye, so Vaye says, nah, the Braisa that's talking about, the first case of the Braisa, it's talking about the Tumtum, is talking about the case of Kishet Beitza Nikaros Mibachutz. It's talking about where the testicles are viewable, but the gid itself is not viewable. It's only covering up. So we know that he's a man.
At least part of him.
What?
He's definitely
a man, because he has the Beitzim are outside. At least so we know he's a man, and therefore the Kedushin are definitely valid, so he can have a wife, but so therefore his wife can eat, but he may not eat it because he's an Arel. Because if that part of the body is covered up, he never had bris milah. So he is an Arel. Tosos asks, wait a second, he says, Vakat. They couldn't, for whatever reason, it was dangerous. The doctors.
Can you open it?
I have no idea. The doctors decided that they can't.
They haven't yet.
Okay, that you can recognize that he's a male now. How can his wife eat the cave on the anal ben bia? He can't have bia right now because his aver is covered up. Lo havi chupaso chupa. It's not a valid chuppah. There's no marriage. It's not a valid marriage because you can't have pia. Right? So he goes, Tosfos says, the Yishlomer, the cave in, the royal roa, like you said, Hayu bar chuppah. Because since maybe you can rip it, it's considered bar chuppah. But, I don't know, the question's better than the.
They didn't,
right? I think the question's better than the answer.
Yeah.
So Rava Amar, Rava gives another reason. What does it mean, the wife, the woman of the tumtum? Rava Amar, my nashav, it means emo. It means his mother. Meaning that if his mother is a Yisraelis who's married to a Kohen and the Kohen dies, so we say that the Bas Yisrael may eat truma so long as there's offspring. So he's considered an offspring enough for her to eat truma. So Gemara says, wait a second, it's offspring. So imo pshita, that's pashut then. What does that come to teach us? Of course, why would she not be able to eat truma? So Gemara says, ma'u detema molid machil she'ein molid eino machil kamash malon, that this person is sufficient. I mean, you would have thought that the only type of offspring that permits the wife to eat truma would be an offspring that can have children. Since his offspring cannot have children. So that you would have thought that maybe that's not considered a valid offspring for the Ashes Kohen to continue eating Shuma. Kamashmalan, I'm not sure what the Kamashmalan is. Kamashmalan is that either that you, I don't know, Kamashmalan, that this is somebody who can have children because you can rip it, or Kamashmalan, even if he cannot have children, that's still considered a valid offspring to permit the mother to continue eating Shuma. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, if you looked in the Braisa, we realize that it mentioned Tumtum twice. So why did it mention Tumtum twice? So I'll say, I'm sorry, according to Abaye, it makes sense. There are two different cases of Tumtum. One case is of Beitz of Nikarim, one big case is of Beitz of Ein Nikarim. Like Mara says, Tashma, it says in the end of the Braisa, Tumtum ain't ocha lo b'chuma v'lo b'kachim. So Pishma l'Abaye, I understand according to Abaye, Tana Reisha Arol Vadai. The race is talking about an Arol Vadai, because that is a, that's the case of the Tumtum whose Beitz of Ar Nikarim, so we know that it's a man and he's not, has not a bris milah, so that's an Arol Vada, he may not eat Truma, and comes to Seifa, Vikani Seifa, where it's completely covered up, which is a Suffolk Arel. That's a real full fledged Tumtum because we don't see the Beitzim, so that's a real Suffolk Ish or Suffolk Ish, so therefore that even the Suffolk doesn't eat Truma. Maybe you'd say that the Tzad in the Keva will allow him to eat Truma, but no, he doesn't eat Truma in those cases either. El Rava, both cases are talking about a regular Tumtum. Both cases are talking about a full-fledged tumtum. So, safe for lumley. Why do I need the din of the safe for the tumtum can't eat truma and kachim? I have in the ratio that tumtum may not eat truma. What do I need it for? So the Gemara says, my tumtum, what does it mean in the safe of the Braisa? Where he says a tumtum can't eat. It's an aro. Tumtum there, I don't know. Tumtum there means aro. That's what it means. It means aro. So the Gemara says, okay, wait a second. So the Raisa tells you that a Suffolk aro can't eat truma. Then you're going to tell me you need to bring a din that a Vade aro can't eat truma? If a Suffolk can't, then a Vade certainly can't. So Gemara says, "Hashda Suffolk Arul Achil, Vaday Arul Achil." Rav answers, no, it's my time of Ka'amar. My time Ka'amar, meaning the Brisa is explaining the Seifa, the reason of the din and the Reisha. And this is how you explain the Brisa. Ma tam tumtum eno ocha b'truma. Why may a tumtum not eat truma? Because of Nesha Suffolk Aril, who, since he's a Suffolk Aril, the Aril eno ocha lo b'truma lo kachim. And an Aril doesn't eat in truma and kachim. The difficulty I have is that he's saying that the Brisa says tumtum means Aril, but the Brisa says tumtum. Maybe needs to change the lashon, that the lashon should say aral, but the brisa says tumtum. So how are you translating it into aral? Okay, so the gemara's gonna go back to talk about the statement of Rav Huna, right? Rav Huna mentioned above that the mashuch only has to do bris mila midarabanan, but midaraisa he doesn't have to do bris mila. I'm not sure why we're going back to talk about Rav Huna, because we said teyufta to Rav Huna teyufta, which basically means, according to one gear, we knocked him out. According to the other gear, so we had a proof for him. So now, why going back to discuss him? I'm not sure. So he says, "Lema kitanoi." Maybe what Rav Huna says is a machlokas tanoim, right? Because we have a brisa that says as follows: a mashuch, right? And Rashi takes out the next three words: mashuch, the ger sheniskayer kishehu mahul, and a ger who was born when he's mahul, the katan. And so, therefore, in the bright,
he was a skyer.
He was Yishmaeli, so he already was circumcised when he converted. So you have to do a toughest dam bris, right? And also the mashuch. And the gerish guy kishumal, the katan sha'avar zmano, and a katan who is now beyond 8 days, and he didn't have brismili yet. Ushar kol nimulim, and all other nimulim, what does that mean? It's a parenthetical, like suyim ishi yeshlo shtei arolos, someone who has two orlos, okay, I don't know what that means. Eina nimulim elabayom, they cannot do brismili at night, they only can have brismili during the day. Right, like every other, like any other mila that has to be done during the day, like on the day 8, it has to be done during the day. These two also have to be done during the day, right? Which seems to indicate maybe that it's a din d'oraisa because it's being done, like let's say, it's being patterned after the regular bris mila. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, he says no. Bismano eini molim biyom. The bris mila on day 8 is only during the day. Shelo bismano, if it's not bisman, and all these other cases that the Tanakhama brought down, right, then nimolin biyom uvalayla. Then you gotta take care of it whenever you can. It's nimolin bein biyom bein balayla. So my life ahad kamiflagi. Let's say that this is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. Demar, meaning the Tanakhama, holds that mashuch is d'oraisa. That mashuch is in d'oraisa, and therefore he only has the mila during the day, like any other mila you mechuyav during the from the Torah. Umar savar and Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar Shimon savar midarabanan. It's only din d'rabanan because midaraisa a mashuch would not need a bris mila, meaning like Rav Huna, would not need a bris mila, and therefore he can have the mila even at night. So you see that the machlokas would be whether or not the mashuch is chayav the mila midaraisa or midarabanan. So the Gemara says Tisbara. Is it possible to explain the machlokas this way about whether you can do bris mila at night or not? One of the cases that the Brisa mentioned is a katan sha'avar zmano. That's for sure din d'oraisa to have bris mila. Yet the Brisa says that this one man d'amar says you have that bris mila at night. You just said if it's d'oraisa you can do it. If it's d'oraisa you do it during the day, and if it's not d'oraisa you do either day or night. We have a katan sha'avar zmano. That's d'oraisa, and the man d'amar is saying that you do it at night. That can't be the machlokas. He says, "V'tizbra katan shavar zmana mi'ikul aman da'am midarabanan." It's definitely a chiyuv midaraisa. And nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar Shimon holds that you can have bris mila at night. You just told me that Rabbi Elazar holds that if you only have it at night if it's midarabanan. That's why he says mashach does that. It can be done at night. But this is definitely a vade midaraisa because this is going to do it at night also. So that cannot be the machlokas between the Tanakham and Rabbi Elazar Shimon.
So if nighttime is not the zman of bris, why would you think you can do it at night? Nighttime is not
because
bris.
It's not the regular
bris. Because
it's
not a regular bris.
Pest
is man. So you do it right away. Get it done. So that's the question that you're asking. Then away. If that's the case, then why not Bnei Yisrael when they're in the midbar? If they can do it after Zman, do it at night. So then at night, at midnight, when the northerly wind was blowing, let them do bris mila then. Yeah. Okay. So El
Avram the same thing. Avram was not Bisman and he didn't do
it. Right. It was Bisman because that was when he was Mitzuva. So Ella the Kuli Alma, everyone agrees to that Mashuch the Rabbanon, that like Rav Huna. So this is why you have to have a problem with the Gersa in our in our Gemara. Our Gemara says Tiyufta the Rav Huna Tiyufta, and now here he says all the Tanaim hold like Rav Huna. But didn't we just say it was a Tiyufta?
So, yeah.
Must be the other. That's why Rashi says it must be the other Girsa. That's a support. Ella the Kume Alma Mashuch Midrabanon. I the katan shavres mano midoraisa, and a katan who his time has passed. It's day 10. It's also din doraisa to have mishmila. V'hachav my kamifugli. So what's their machlokas? So their machlokas is how you darshan a pasuk. So another is a drasha machlokas. The machlokas is in all these cases whether you can do mishmila at day or at night as well is because whether you darshan the letter vav that's in the word uviyom. Right, it says Uviyom Hashmini Yimol Bisor Orloso. So do you make a drasha on the letter Vav? Right, Mar Savar Darshinan Uviyom, Umar Savar Lo Darshin Uviyom. One says you do make a drasha with the Vav, and one says you don't make a drasha with the Vav. Uviyom means during the day. Rashi says Mar Savar Darshinan Uviyom. It's Vav Yisera. It's an extra Vav. The Matzil Lemichta Bayom Hashmini Yimol. You could just say Bayom on the day. What is Uviyom? Lasuye Mila Shlobizmana. That comes to include even a Mila Shlobizmana is done during. Only during the day. So one makes that drasha, and one doesn't make the drasha. Then similar to the following case, whether they make the drushas of Vav or not. He had the Yosef Rav Yochanan v'Kadarish. Rav Yochanan said, was sitting, and he made the following drasha, and it says that, Nosar bizmano, eino nisraf ele b'yom. Shelo bizmano, nisraf b'yem b'yom b'yem b'layla. You have a karban that's left over. It's Nosar. And there's a mitzvah to burn Nosar. It says, v'hanosar mibsar hazevach, b'yom hashlishi v'esi saref. Talking about Korban Shlomim. On the third day, you burn it during the day. So on the third day, you burn it during the day. But if it doesn't get all consumed on the third day, then you burn it day or night. Because he learns it out from the U, right, from the Vav, from the extra Vav. The Esri, Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan, so Rav Elazar answered Rav Yochanan, how are you learning from the fact that it's that when it says in the Torah that you should burn it during the day, it's only Bismano. You're learning it from the Vav. But what about Brismila? It also has an extra Vav there. And I hold, Eli Ela Nimo Lushmini, She'en Nimo Ela Bayom. Minayin Lerabos, Letitia, Lasara, Lachadasar, Lishneimasar, Tamalomer Uvayom. That we darshan this Vav. So, right, it means only during the day. So to here. So to Gabri Nosar. It says, Veha Nosar. We should say that Nosar, that's Nisraf Acharzmano, is also Nisraf during the day. So you see that the same idea, the Machlokas about the Vav. So the Gemara says, so Rav Elazar continues to ask Rav Yochanan, he says, even according to Elazar Rav Shimon, who's not, even if you say that you darshan the Vav, you don't darshan the Vav by Bris Mila, you have to darshan it by Nosar. Because here, Afilu Man Lamar, the low Darish Vav, Vav the Hey Darish. There, over there, it says, Ubayom Hashmini. Here it says V'ha Nosar. So it's an extra Vav and it's an extra Hey. It's the extra Vav and the extra Hey. You definitely should darshan and say that even Lobos Mano, you darshan, you burn it only during the day. Alright, Naniach over there, the Brismila, you have an argument because it's just a Vav. But here it's a Vav and Hey, so your drush is completely wrong. So the Ishtik, Rav Yochanan was wrong. Because remember, Rav Yochanan darshan that if you burn in Nosar, not on the day, on that first day, you can do it at day or night. So he says, that was quiet. So Basa did nafak. So after Rav Lazar left out, Amalei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, he's giving Shvach to Rav Lazar. Rav Is Leben Pedas, that's Rav Lazar, She Yoshe Vidoris Ke Moshe Piagvura. He darshans like Moshe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amalei Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan, Didehi. Do you really think that the drasha of Rav Yochanan is his own? Like he's not letting him compliment him so much. Didehi, that's really his. It's Masnisihi. It's a Mefurish Braisa that says this. So Rav Yochanan doesn't know the source. Rav Yochanan says, okay, Heichan Tanile. Where does he learn it? He says, but Torahs Kohanim. It's in Torahs Kohanim. It's in the Sifra. It's a clear Sifra. And Rav Yochanan didn't know the Sifra. Right? Nafik tiny tlasa yomi v'savar tlasa yomi. So Rav Yochanan went out and started learning this. So Shirogon and his Igaris points out from here, he sees that the Sifra and the Sifri were not so well known to the Balei Gemara. Because Rav Yochanan didn't know it. They knew all the brises, they knew all the...
But his Talmud did know it.
But he studied it. Right? But he says that the Sifra and the Sifri were not, they didn't know that between the Chachamim. It was slowly but slowly. It's not like the Mishnah that everyone knew right away. He proves from here. Rav Yochanan was out of Baki in Torah's Kohanim. Right? The Ramban, there's a Ramban in Chulin that also says that the Balei Gemara were not well versed in Sifra. They didn't necessarily know these Midrashi Halacha. Okay.
So you pray someone, and then you see what happens.
Yeah, Reish Lakish. Yeah, right, that's what Gemara says. He's not supposed to be Sifcha Shadlov because they're saying, oh yeah, he's really great, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it's not going to blow up or anything, right? If it does.
You're sitting closer than I am.
Right, so we all know the din that if Yisrael becomes Tamei Meis and he wants to become Tahor from his Tumah in order to eat Shum and Kachim, he has to have the Mechatas of the Eifa Paraduma sprinkled on him on a day 3 and on a day 7, and then he becomes Tahor from his Tumah, and then he can eat Shum and Kachim. Right? And we also know that the person who sprinkles the Mechatas, he has to be Tahor, he becomes Tamei, but he has to be Tahor, because it says, V'tavu b'mayim ish Tahor, V'hizah, and he says, V'hizah Tahor la'tamei. And we also know that a Tful Yom, which a Tful Yom was somebody who does Tefillah for his Tumah, and it doesn't have Harav Shemesh, and he doesn't become Tamei, he doesn't become Tahor at night, right? He is Kasher l'hazos. Tful Yom, we say, is permitted to sprinkle the Mechatas, but the Pasuk says, V'hizah Tahor, which comes to include to us, and we'll explain where that comes from, that comes to include a Tful Yom. So, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Orel Shehiza. Well, let's say you have an Orel who sprinkles the Mechatas on the Tamei Meis. So even though when it comes to Truma and Kachim, he's considered like a Tamei, he's not allowed to eat them, nevertheless, when it comes to the Hazah, he's fine. Hazah so Kesheira. He's fine. Mida have a Tful Yom. Similar to the case of a Tful Yom, Sha'af al-Pi Sha'asa b'Truma. Even though a Tful Yom may not eat Truma, he may Kasher b'Para. The Gemara says, what's the comparison over here? Right? So the Gemara says, Ma Tful Yom Shekain, right? The Gemara says, What are you comparing it? Mat l'tful yom. The tful yom is more kal than an arel. Shekain mutar b'meiser. A tful yom can eat meiser. How so you can tell the din? You're going to learn from a tful yom to an arel. Tful yom is more meiko. Not a kal b'chomer because a tful yom is more kal because he may eat in meiser. So the Gemara says, wait a second. What are you asking about achila? I'm talking about ila. Achila. I'm talking about touching. Atu ana l'achila karminan. Ana the Giyah Karminan, and that from the comes to touching, Umat Tful Yom She'asr B'Negiyah B'Tetruma, a Tful Yom may not touch Truma, nevertheless, Mutar B'Para, he's allowed to do the sprinkling of the Eifah Para Duma, so an Arel She'mutar B'Negiyah, an Arel who's permitted to touch Truma Kachim, because he's not Tamei, he's just an Arel, not according to Kiva though, he may touch Truma Kachim, so Ein Adin She'mutar B'Para, if a someone who can't touch can sprinkle, so someone who can touch can certainly sprinkle. And Tanya Nami Hachi, we have Bryce that supports us as follows. Arel Shehiza, an Arel that sprinkles, has also Kishera, which seems to sound as only the Bidiyevit. Haya, Vichshiro Chacham has also. And it was a Maisa, and they said it was Kasher. And they said that it was Kasher. Fine. So now this morning asks, okay, we just said that Arel may sprinkle the Mechatas. Now we're going to bring a Bryce that's Mufurus, and Arel may not sprinkle, or may not deal with the Mechatas. So Meisvei, Tumtum, you have a tumtum. Shekidesh. Kidesh means he mixes the Eifa Paraduma with the Mechatas, right, to make them water holy. Right? Kidusho Pasol, that's Pasol. Vipneshu Safek Arel, because he's a Safek Arel. So the Gemara says, the Arel Pasol Kadesh. And Arel may not make the Mechatas Kadesh, may not mix it together. So he's trying to make a thing. This may not mix it, so too can't sprinkle it. That seems to be the jump that they're going to be making.
He did, Arel. He's not
what's the?
RL did do the Hazar.
According to right here, it seems to say that you can't. That if a Safek can't do it,
it wouldn't work to say.
It's not Kaddish. It doesn't take on the din. It makes it possible. But an androgynous who does it, Shekidesh, Kiddush Kosher. That's Kosher. Because what's the problem with an androgynous? Maybe it's a man, maybe it's a woman. A woman can do it. The problem with a Tumtum is that he's a Safek RL. So if an RL can't, a Safek RL can't do it. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer.
There's no question by androgynous, because he's part man, let's say.
Part woman.
But you don't need a bris on a part man?
An androgynous, you know, maybe he is a woman.
He has both.
Right, I hear what you're saying.
He doesn't say he's both.
An androgynous, we're talking about an androgynous. No, sorry, an androgynous has both. So if he has both, he did a bris mila on him.
Yes.
You do a bris mila. So he has a bris mila. Maybe he's a woman, maybe it's a woman. He has both. What is he? Is it Barry play Atmo? Doesn't matter.
We do a bris on androgynous.
Yeah. Right, so androgynous shekidus kedusha kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af androgynous shekidus kedusha pasulav. Even androgynous who does the mixing of the water is pasul. Vipnei safik isha, because it's also safik isha. Then Rabbi Yehuda holds isha pasul mikadesh. But katani miha, nevertheless it says in the brisa that an arel v'safel arel pasul mikadesh. I'm going to say just like it's pasul to mix it together, it's pasul also to sprinkle it. So the Gemara says, I guess they make the jump. That's the jump that they're making. They're equating the two dinim. So the Gemara says, no, Amar of Yosef, Hai Tana, this Tana is Tana by Rabbi Kiva who? It's going according to the Shita Rabbi Kiva. De Marbile Aral Ketame. Rabbi Kiva equates an Aral to Tumah. You see all across the board, Rabbi Kiva constantly says that Aral is like a Tame, and therefore if the Aral is like a Tame, that's why he may not mix it, and that's why he may not sprinkle it, because it's not like a Tful Yom. We compare the Aral to Tful Yom, Rabbi Kiva is comparing him to a Tame. Tame definitely can't mix or sprinkle it. The Sanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, the Pasuk says, remember we're talking about before, right? Before, like the past couple days, we'd ask that Rabbi Lezer asked, Minayin la'aro she'eno ocha b'truma. How do we know that the oral doesn't eat truma? So he said that there's a gzei reshava, tosha v'socher from Pesach. By Pesach it says, tosha v'socher yochol bo. It says, b'truma, tosha v'kohen v'socher yochol b'kodesh. We said, ma tosha v'socher Pesach aro l'asavo, av tosha v'socher when it came to the truma, may not eat it. But Rabbi Kiva learned it from somewhere else. Rabbi Kiva learned that because it says, ish mizer aron, and he says, Ish L'Rabos is Oral. I mean, he made an equation that Oral is considered a Tameh. So therefore, we see from Rabbi Kiva that he views the Oral as a Tameh, completely a Tameh. So according to him, the Oral will not be able to touch Truma. Right? We say that Oral can touch Truma. He says Oral may not touch Truma. And therefore, it would also be possible to sprinkle the Mechatas. So this Brisa that's Mefurash, that an Oral is possible to Mekadosh the Mechatas. And therefore, we learn by extrapolation that he may not sprinkle the Mechatas. That's going according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Lezer, who argues Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the Makor of the Halacha, that an Oral may not eat Truma, is from the Xer Shava of Tosha of Asachir from Pesach, he's going to hold that an Oral is not Tameh. And if an Oral is not Tameh, he's going to hold like Rabbi Lezer here, who says an Oral is Kosher to do all these maisim for the paraduma. So Amar Rava says, Havayasvina kamed Rav Yosef v'kashli. I was sitting in front of Rav Yosef and had the following problem. He says, if it's true that Rabbi Kiva says that an aral is tamei, why is it lo vishtame tanda v'lesni aral tamei v'lema Rabbi Kiva hi? Why is it there no brisa? There's no mishnah or brisa that says that an RL and a Tamei are equal when it comes to touching a Truma. And we'll just say that's right, and say that that's a Shita Rabbi Kiva. We don't have this source. We say, Rabbi Kiva holds it. We don't have a source. The Gemara says, we don't. Philo, V'hakatani ha'arav v'atamei p'tumim in'ariyah. We have a Brisa that says, an RL and a Tamei are p'tumim, they don't come up to the base of Migdash. They don't do a Lila Regel, right? Because it says Shalosh Pamim B'Shana Yeres Kol Zechurcha Pesha Adon Hashem, and we say because they're Tamei, right? I guess the Gemara thinks now that the reason why the Arel doesn't go is the same reason why the Tamei doesn't go. It's because they're Tamei. Arel v'la Tamei. He says, oh, maybe that's not a source. Hassam, the reason why the Arel doesn't go is not because he's Tamei. What?
I'm just saying because he's
Beis. Right. Elam Mishum Demais. It's disgusting for him to come to the Beis Hamidrash when you're uncircumcised. But so according to this, he doesn't have a source. There's not a source for what we say Rabbi Kiva does, but Rav has a kashi. I don't see where the source is to say that Rabbi Kiva equates RL to Tuma. I think the source is from all the shitas that Rabbi Kiva has. Right. He seems to equate RL to Tuma. Okay, the brayse we brought before says we just had the machlok chacham and Rav Yehuda about an androgynous who's mekadesh who mixes the mechatas, whether that's valid or not. Chacham said it's fine. Rav Yehuda said it's not fine. So va'azlu tamayu, and they go to shitasam. The sanya, the brayse that says hakol, anyone who's tahar, even a woman, k'sheir mekadesh, they're allowed to mix the ashes with the water in the klicheres, chutz mecheir shot of a katan, except for cheir shot of a katan. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, he says the katan's okay, who posel b'isha v'androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't know why that's azlu shitasayu, that is the shita, that's the source. Azlu shitasayu means there's another machlokus, and that machlokus is based on their previous machlokus. This is the same machlokus. Okay, so my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reasoning for the Rabbanan to say that a woman may mix the water? The ksiv, because the pasuk says by this process, it says v'lachu latamei may afar sreifas hachatos. It says v'nasan alav mayim chayim el keli. Right, so he says hanach the pasli b'asifa. Anyone, even those who are pasul b'asifa, those who are pasul to gather the afar apara, which would be a chayim shot of a katan, they are psulim b'kiddush. They may not do the key to mix it. But hanach k'shein b'asifa, but those who are kosher and gathering it, I guess that includes a woman. We're going to see that it says tahor, that includes a woman who's tahor, just as someone who's tahor. They are k'shein b'kiddush. If you can gather it, you can mix it. A woman may gather it. A woman may mix it. I have Rabbi Yehuda who says that the katan may do kiddush Right, not a, but a woman may not. Amalach, he says, Imkain, if they're trying to equate the din of asifa to the din of mixing, right, name akra, the pasuk says vilakach. The pasuk here says vilakhu, right? Rashi says, like the second white line, he says vilakhu latamei, he says, basar asifas afrak siv hach avoda de kiddush. He says, right after he talks about the gathering, it talks about the avoda of the kiddush. So the ain avoda of seconds main time. There's nothing in between them. So the Chachamim say that's the same dinim. So Hanach, saying Rashi, Hanach the psulim basifa psulim kodesh, v'hasam darshin and v'asaf ish v'lo katan tahor lahashus isha. That's why you say it's a woman. It's so it's continuous. It's a continuum. You have the gathering, and then you have the mixing, includes a woman. Rabbi Yehuda says if it was going to be a continuum, it shouldn't say vilachu, it should say vilakach. What does vilachu mean? So my vilachu, his vilachu means afilu hanach dipsulim hasam ksheirim hacha. Even those that are pasul there, meaning the katan, are kasha here, which would be can mix. The Gemara says, wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that vilachu comes to add. So it's coming to add. It's coming to add on those who are permitted to gather it, which includes a woman. Therefore, the woman should be permitted to mix it as well. Why are you including the katan from your drasha but excluding the woman? So he says, "Ihachi ishanami." So he says, "No, because it says v'nasan." It says v'nasan v'lo v'nasna, and not a, I don't know. Some places we said ish, but over there we don't darshan ish v'lo ish. Over here we're darshaning v'nasan. All right, it says v'nasan v'lo v'nasna. V'rabbanan who say. Right, the Rabbanan who say that whoever's kosher to gather the offer is also kosher to mix it with the water. So if it says v'lachu, why does it say v'lachach like Rabbi Yehuda says? Ikasi v'lachach v'nasan havemina shakach v'yoyichad. To say that means the same person. Right, the continuum would be v'lachach v'nasan would be the same person. He who gathers is he who has to mix it. So kasi v'lachu to say it can be with two people. So why does it say v'lachach v'nasan? Why does it say why doesn't it just say v'lachu v'nasnu? It says v'lachu v'nasan. So why does it say singular v'nasan? V'ikas rachmana v'lachu v'nasnu have min shakli trevi havi tre. You would think that you'd have to two people have to do it. Same two people would have to do it. It have to be two people. So kaser rachmana v'lachu v'nasan that feels shakli trevi yoivchad. Even if two people gathered, one person can mix, or one person gathered, two people can mix. Doesn't make a difference about the numbers. Now the Gemara says. This is the Makar where we say that the Tful Yom is kosher for sprinkling, which is what we used to do purposely. Right? He says, because the Pasuk says, V'hiza hatahor al hatameh. So he says that the extra word hatahor is extra. Because I guess even if you say wouldn't say the word hatahor, we would know this halacha because the Torah calls the mayim mechatas, and a chatas has to be done by somebody who's tahor, right? Rashi says hatahor. So therefore, what does he learn out? Therefore, we say tahor mechlal shehu tameh liman al tful yom shekasher bepara. If we're saying hatahor, it's sort of like a lashon sakinor. It's tahor only for this instance, but not for any other instance. Who's that? That is a tful yom. It says be Rashi inside. It says Rashi says hatahor. Shetiharti lechokan that I make him tahor specifically here. Michlal, the inference is shetamli davar acher. That he's tamei for something else. Kegon tful yom shetamei letruma. Like a tful yom was tamei for truma. The isak adaitach tahor mamush. Even you tell me that you need a full fledged, fully valid tahor individual. Lishta kromine. Just don't be silent. Don't say the word v'tahor. Va'ani adana de tamei aser repara. I would know that a tamei may not sprinkle or may not deal with the efer apara. The chatas kari rachmana. It's called a chatas. It's called mechatas. Ela my tahor. What is tahor? Tahor kolduhu is a little bit of tahara. The ashachan tful yom the mikrei tahor and a tful yom is also called a little bit of a tahor. The ksiv says elsewhere the rochas v'mayim v'taher. He goes into the water and becomes tahor even though it's not a parish shemesh. So we're talking about here v'hatahor is extraneous. Come to include the tful yom. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah.